and welcome to Tech Enthusiast. I'm Neil.
And I'm Simon. And this week I'm going to kick off with Kickstarter. Almost sound like a pun. Just failures again. Project just falling apart. So it was the ideal week for me to jump in on two crowdsourcing projects.
Why not?
Yeah. When all you see the news is failure, I think now's the time to take a risk on a crowdsourcing project.
Yeah.
But now, the ones that have failed, drones. Some interesting background noise there. I think drones just are difficult to make.
Yeah. Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think I could make a drone from scratch. Although, do you know what? A few years ago, I actually looked into, you know, getting drones as a kit.
Oh, yeah.
Buying the different elements.
Yeah.
It's not like, say, I'm buying a DIY drone kit, clip.
Yeah.
Like buying four motors.
Yeah.
Some rotors. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Because I was really interested in how it's self-balanced.
Oh, right.
You know, the GPS navigation. It's actually really interesting. There's this big GPS open source project on it, and it's honestly fascinating. It's an absolute rabbit hole, though.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'll probably get it. It'll fly for 4 seconds, and I'll put it into a wall.
Yeah.
You know, because my coding skills will not have done any object detection, and it'll just plow into a wall.
Yeah.
But the ones that were failed was someone had tried to make a dragonfly drone.
Oh, yeah.
Which it turns out couldn't fly for longer than a few seconds without falling apart.
Which isn't really what you're looking for from a drone.
I'm not really looking for that. And then the other was a micro drone, which just turned out was nothing like what they'd made us believe it to be.
Oh, dear.
And the third failure, and this one was today, was the second highest funded project ever on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
The cooler box, which was a stereo.
Yeah.
And a cocktail blender. This.
Yeah.
Oh, it did some other stuff as well. Oh, it did lots of stupid stuff. I can't even remember.
In my head, it fired beer cans at you, but I think that was a different one.
Well, that's how they really tested that bit. But, yeah. It is crazy. They raised $12 million.
Which for a cooler box is ridiculous. I mean, I know it's a fancy dancing.
I think it was sort of like over 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Went for the actual reward of the cooler box.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing it when it went up and I thought, that is actually pretty awesome.
We don't really use coolers much in the UK though, do we? It's not really a thing.
Yeah.
Because even if we were to have a party, we'd have a bucket with some ice in. That's if we were splashing out.
Yeah. Cooler boxes generally, if you're into the beach or on a picnic or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I can really imagine going to a British beach with a cooler box.
Hey, we get that one day.
We do get that one day. Although I still can't imagine going to Cleethorpes on that one day with a cooler box.
Nobody wants to imagine going to Cleethorpes. No. Well, we're going to get into turf war now.
But the projects I backed, I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
But I'll start by saying I backed them when Indiegogo.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I've got to sign up. And I was like, I've just got to log in with Facebook. So I logged in with Facebook. I backed the project. And then I thought to myself, I'm just going to look to see if I've ever backed a project in Indiegogo, because I couldn't remember. I'd backed three.
Yeah.
And they all went so smoothly that I'd forgotten they were crowdsourced.
Right.
I'm certainly not saying that Indiegogo is more successful than Kickstarter. I think it just so happens that I've looked out on that everything that I've backed on Indiegogo has gone so smooth, didn't even remember it was crowdsourced.
It's weird because you kind of see, I mean, the name probably doesn't help, but you see Indiegogo as being a bit riskier.
Well, Indiegogo,
the fact that they don't have to fully fund it.
They allow a lot of products which aren't allowed on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So you do see a lot of products that are against the rules on Kickstarter. But yeah, as soon as I see a project that says, oh, what do they call it?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, yeah, where you just said where you can get the funding even if you don't.
Yeah, even if you don't fully fund it.
Yeah, so you just think, oh, I...
funding or something.
This is going to fail. Yeah. And the one I backed had that. Because what it is, it's the... I've no idea how you say it. Because I don't know if it's a Chinese word.
Okay.
Or if it's... Because it's a Chinese project.
Yeah.
And it's C-Z-U-R. Sir? Kazoo? That sounded more French than anything else. And it's a book scanner where you don't have to destroy the book to scan it.
Right.
Which, if you remember, a few years ago, I was destroying books.
Left, right, and centre.
In fact, were you there that day where I went and bought a book for £65?
Yes, I was.
And the bookshop is like opposite where you have to go and destroy it.
Yeah.
To get it scanned. And they're like, but you've just bought this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, but now I've got to destroy it to scan it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, destroy it. And it was honestly just so upsetting that you're destroying this thing that you've just bought. So basically, it's a book scanner and you lay your book out flat and there's a camera on a little stand at the top that looks down on the book.
A bit like a stop motion animation setup.
A great way to describe it, it's basically an OHP projector.
Yeah.
But it's a camera at the top.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's a foot pedal. So you click, turn the page, click, turn the page, click, turn the page, click, turn the page, click. Fantastic. They reckon you can do a book in 5 minutes. I was like, I'm backing this.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk in the press saying, oh, it's a Chinese project. We don't know if it's legit. I was thinking, that's not a particular reason not to back the project.
No.
Because any project you back in America is... majority of them made in China anyway.
Yeah.
So if anything, these guys are one step further along because they live in a country they're actually going to make it in.
Yeah.
And they talk the language, which is definitely an improvement. So I backed it, threw my money in. But with 10 days to go, I got an update. And I thought, oh, aye, what's going on here? And the update was, here's it being manufactured in the factory. There's still 10 days to go and they've banged it out.
Crazy.
Like, wow, that is straight up efficiency.
Yeah. Clearly, they weren't definitely needing the funding to
No, I think it was just a PR thing, which is always a great way. And it's essentially, it's a very simple concept. Mm. It's not like a camera on a stick with a foot pedal.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there is some built-in software there and there's like cloud book service and da da da.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not particularly a difficult product to manufacture, so I can really see it. And the next project I backed is really interesting because it's a project I wanted to back 2 years ago.
Right.
Emailed the guy saying, I'd love to buy your product. It's not accessible. Can you make this, this, and this change? So it works. Because usually if you get them early enough in the design process, they can make, you know, minor changes, make it accessible. But he said, we're too far along, we can't do it. But now they've come around 2 years later with version 2, which has all those features.
Fantastic.
So I'm like, backing it, done. I don't think that's going to come on time. But at least 2 years down the line, it's now going to be accessible. And that's basically, this is just a real nerdy health thing. But it's a body fat analyzer.
Yeah.
And you place it on whichever part of your body you want to get a body fat percentage reading. And it tells you the muscle condition as well.
That's crazy.
And one of the sort of advertisings they're saying is you can try and get balanced. So let's say a runner and you want to see which one of your legs is stronger or if your legs are balanced, you can test the muscle composition of each leg. Yeah, pretty impressive. Mm. Can't remember how much it was. I think it's like $100 or something.
Right.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to hopefully getting them. I'll update people and let's see if they come on time because the scanner's supposed to be January.
Right.
Ambitious. Ambitious.
Although they are already making them.
They are already making them. And I think the scanner's supposed to be March. So we'll see.
Mm.
I think they're going to make January. Could be late January.
Yeah.
But it's going to be there.
Cool.
So what have you been up to this week in tech news then, Neil?
Ooh, in tech news, well, saw an interesting piece of news about Google for Android. It was talking about the fact that, you know, you can find search results using Google now from within apps. So you search and it'll search within the apps.
Yeah.
But then they're going one step further and they're actually going to just stream apps to your phone.
So you no longer have to have the large install base.
Yeah. So I think it's a bit of an experiment at the minute. They've got it working with a few apps, none of which were any that I particularly use.
What sort of apps were they?
There was like a hotel booking app and things like that.
I suppose an app like that would make sense. Yeah. Why would you need that fully installed?
Yeah, although why is it, you know, is the app not just a wrapper for the website, or, you know, what's going on
there? Even the wrapper apps are massive.
Yeah.
Because, for example, an app that should essentially be minuscule on your phone.
Yeah.
Uber.
Yeah, totally.
That should be tiny. Just literally, here's my location, here's my account details.
Yeah.
That should be like 1 meg. Well, actually, there's a few UI elements in there, maybe more than 1 meg, but it should be tiny, absolutely tiny.
But I just thought it was an interesting concept, really. Just, I mean, well, we're moving closer and closer towards cloud-based stuff, aren't we? So if you're streaming the apps that you're using...
It's an interesting concept. It's going one further than Apple's... What do they call it? App slicing or app thinning. It's one of those terminologies, but basically what they're doing is, because if you develop an app for iOS, you can have an iPhone 5, you know, 5S, 6, etc., iPad mini, iPad Pro, lots of different resolutions. So it identifies which iOS device you have and downloads only the elements that are for your
device. So if it's got things that work with Siri and you've got a phone that's pre-Siri.
Yeah, or even just the graphical elements, or the iPad version is going to be a bit different from the iOS version and so on. So it just downloads the elements that you need. So it makes it a smaller footprint. But the Google thing is definitely going one step further, and it ties in to something we spoke about a few weeks ago, the Robin...
No, the
Robin phone. It wasn't the Robin phone. It was when we talked about the file system that was actually on the cloud rather than the local device.
Yeah.
So we are moving towards that.
Yeah.
We just need fast internet.
Fast internet's the key, yeah. And so just making sure that you've always got connectivity. Because when you're out and about, cell service.
Do you know what? Nowadays, when I lose connection... Because actually, talk about losing connection, this is... Because I always seem to be on trains eating. But I was on the train and I totally lost data. And I needed something off the internet. I was thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to ring Neil. It's like, Neil, can you look this up for me on the internet? Because I had phone signal, but no data. But it turned out it was that day when 3 went down.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the day. Just as I pulled into King's Cross, it came up briefly. I was like, oh, God, quick. Because I was trying to find the address of where I was going, because I rather stupidly hadn't put it in notes or anything. And it really hit home that, my God, I do rely...
You do.
...on so much of my content is on the internet that when I lose it... Again, when there was that issue with my contract and the cut-off data...
Yeah.
I had to ring them up and just say, slap on a load of data, I need it. Just put on whatever. Yeah, thanks, bye.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know, I think, you know, if... Even at work, using work computers, sometimes systems go down and there are... older school, you know, probably older generation people that I work with who have got a contacts book, you know, like an address book, filled with phone numbers for different organisations that we work with and stuff like that.
They can function.
I just Google them. And, you know, that works for me. But occasionally, the computer's just not letting me search for things for whatever reason. And then I'm stuck and I'm having to go to somebody else and go, can I just have a look in your address book? Don't you have an address book? No, just Google it.
But this reminds me of two things. Because, you know, when we're moving towards cloud computing.
Yeah.
Okay, the cloud computing will stay online, but if you lose your connection, you can't actually talk to your server setup. Because I can remember a similar thing that happened at work. The new server setup got outsourced to a third-party company.
Yeah.
So they did all that, so I wasn't involved in it.
Right.
So I think it had been in about 3 weeks, and then we had a power cut. All the servers were on UPS. All headless.
Right.
So I said, you put all the switches on UPS, right? No. But they're all headless. How am I supposed to even be able to do anything?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, we didn't think of that. What do you mean you didn't think of that? You didn't think that when this goes down,
yeah,
we'll keep this running, but then I've got no way to safely turn everything off. Okay, great. And yeah, and that was just a connectivity thing. It was all on, but I couldn't connect to it,
yeah,
to safely bring everything down, because the batteries don't last
no
that long, really. And yeah, it is a problem. And as we move forward and get faster connections, there needs to be that stability and signal and it's everywhere.
It's almost like they should concentrate on stability now before speed, because speeds are getting to a point now where
I think the next spectrum has better coverage.
5G.
5G, I believe, has better coverage.
Yeah, it needs to, really.
Because there's a version of Wi-Fi as well. That's sort of like a 23-mile radius.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I can remember this being talked about a few years ago, because I said if we all concentrated on that, quite often, I'm always 23 miles away from someone I know.
Yeah.
On someone's Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi. But I'll tell you, we always talk about mobile phones, but there was a bit of mobile phone news this week that I've got to talk about.
Okay.
Walmart released a smartphone for less than $10.
Yeah, what wasn't it? Something daft like $9.85 or something.
Yeah. And it's just unbelievable price point.
Yeah, and it's a higher spec than the original iPhone.
Yeah, well, I've been using the 3GS.
Yeah.
The iPhone 3GS.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, don't get me wrong, but it's not fantastic. But for, you know, basic things like surfing the internet, doing email,
it's a phone Kindle, you could give your kid.
It worked. Well, I don't know. I don't want to play games.
Yeah.
If that's what we can get for sub $10 now,
yeah,
what can we get for sub $10 in 3 years' time? Because if you're not gaming, yeah, phones are just going to get cheaper and cheaper. And the OnePlus X is a great example of that, because I got the OnePlus X.
Yeah.
Good phone for the price point. But I'm still going to buy those expensive flagship ones with that piece of Apple on the back. That's the unfortunate thing.
Right, okay.
I know, accessibility is not that great. I did try, because it would have been a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you get fanboys either side, don't you? And the truth of it all is that there's problems on both sides, and there's areas where each excel. But you
if
know.
I could see, I think I'd probably use an Android.
Yeah,
just because I do very specific things on my phone. Maybe they would vary if I could see that. That's probably arguable, but the widget system on Android for me allows me to customise my phone to the point where my home screen does exactly
what you need it
what
to
I
do.
Need it to do.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing everything down to one click.
Yeah.
So it's like click, 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 click. Even with how bad accessibility was, I listened to F1 and stuff on Radio 5, and I listened to a lot of Radio 1 and stuff.
Yeah.
I could have widgets. So it was an icon on my homepage that I just clicked and started playing that station.
Yeah.
Can't do that on an iPhone.
No.
You've got to click, 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 click to get through. And even just a little thing like that. And yeah. I made it so I had a Twitter client with a widget. So you opened it and it went straight to the compose window and I could just Google voice dictate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Android is good for that. Well, yeah, like you say, if the accessibility is there on iOS, and that's kind of the most important part for you, really.
Yeah, I'm going to be on iOS for a few more years, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe even a lot longer than that. we'll see. I'm trying to... There's another story I wanted to bring up, but I'm blanking now.
Well, we'll quickly talk about the one that I was going to mention. YouTube Kids.
Yes, God, kids love YouTube. Well, my kids do.
I got a notification on my phone today telling me it was available, and I was just like, oh, fantastic. And I'm making an assumption here, but I'm going to go with it. Does that mean now that I don't have to have all the kids' videos that my kids play on YouTube in my YouTube history.
Yeah, I think I don't think you need to have an account, you know.
Really?
It just works. I think the way it works, again, I ain't used it either.
Yeah.
Is I believe they like recommend kids' channels.
Oh, right.
Stamp is an official channel.
Really?
Yeah, the Minecraft guy.
I wonder what the kind of cut off with it is then. How are they deciding what's kid friendly and what isn't?
Well, those guys, you can do an age rating on your video.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that you have to do the age rating on your video.
Yeah.
And as soon as there's something on, it's going to get flagged. Because, you know, Grayson watches, you know, the people playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like on YouTube. You click through, you click through, you click through, and eventually ends up on someone that's not stampy.
Yeah.
And as soon as I hear like someone else's voice, I'm like a bit suspicious. I'm like,
yeah,
that's not stampy. And then as soon as I say something a little inappropriate, I'm like, get that one off, get stampy back on.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. Yeah, my daughter, she likes watching a YouTube channel called Nerdy Nummies, which is somebody making geeky and nerdy cake treats, basically. And it's quite cool. I've watched it with her, but I don't want to be opening my YouTube history and seeing all these Nerdy Nummy videos. I'm like, where's that video I was watching last week?
I've got some crazy recommendations here. It was annoying at first when the kids were jumping on Netflix and using my account.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, use your own account. You've got your own account. Why are you using mine?
Yeah. Well, my kids always have battles about whose face is it going to be on, and once they've decided whose face it's going to be on, who gets to pick what's actually being put on TV, because sometimes they're like, well, I've picked, it's my face, I should pick, and then it's like, well, no, he's picked, so it should be my face, and it's like, oh, crikey.
Well, now I've got, you know, the opportunity before it's Siri.
Yeah.
Grayson will say, put Paw Patrol on. I'm like, well, you've got to press the button to start with, Grayson. You can't just shout in the television.
Yeah.
The command isn't put.
No. Put. Although, speaking of Paw Patrol, going on a bit of a parent route on this one, but my kids were at my parents' the other day, and Paw Patrol was on one of the...
Is it Nick?
I think it's on Nick.
Or it could be Boomerang or something, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's one of the two. But because it's the Nick UK channel, they've overdubbed some of the voices so that they're not all American, so that the kids don't start talking with American accents. And when they watch it at my place, they're watching it on Netflix, and it's just the straight American feed. So they were kind of looking at me going out, and it's like, why has Chase got a different voice? And it's like, well...
Have you seen that new kids show that's those two girls that are game developers?
No.
Yeah. Is these two young... I thought it was like game something. But yeah, it's these two young girls that are doing a games company.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I think trying to just show that girls can code as well.
That's a positive thing.
Ain't no Paw Patrol, though. And it certainly ain't no Dino Trucks.
Oh, no, let's not get started on Dino Trucks again.
I got into it in the end. crazy show. You know what? I'm actually going to have to do a really bad form and bring up my news story because I can't remember what it was.
Now you guys can hear the nonsense to everybody else. That is a voiceover. Talks way too fast for me to hear what it's saying.
You know, everyone always comments on that. I think that is like 55%.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way too fast for me to hear it.
You get used to it.
I bet.
You really do. Sometimes if I'm listening to a book, I have to slow the rate down.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly. But if I'm reading news articles, then I can go a little bit faster than
that. Yeah, news is different. But books you need, well, depending if it's fiction, at the very least, there needs to be some cadence to it.
Yeah, you can use like a pitch change, which helps a lot with the cadence and things like that. But the other news ties in quite nicely.
All right.
We were going to talk about fitness tracker present recommendations.
Yeah.
For Christmas. God, I can't believe how close we are to Christmas now.
Oh no.
But there's two pieces of news in this.
Right.
Zaimi, again, people need easy names for the companies. What happened? Apple, Nike. Coca-Cola. Ford.
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 Four letters.
Ford. Done. You can get it cut down to three letters, even better.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a three-letter coming in there.
Nope.
Oh, this is going to be so annoying. We're going to think of a three-letter company name.
There's got to be loads.
There's got to be loads. There's got to be loads.
KFC.
You know, I went to KFC the other day for the Big Boss meal. It's not big. It's not boss. No.
Not boss enough.
No. But Zaimi have released a fitness tracker that does steps, sleep and heart rate. $15.
$15? Not 50?
No, $15.
That is silly cheap.
Currently only available in China.
Right.
But there's a few Chinese companies that, you know, do only trade in China that are starting to bring some of their accessories over to America and, you know, filter into the UK. That the price points are so low and the quality is so high that you just think, how is it possible to make this product for that much money?
Yeah.
But the other piece of news that I found really interesting is Misfit,
right,
who are a fitness tracking company, got bought out by Fossil, the watchmaking company. Now, I think that's a really interesting acquisition because Misfit never did a fitness tracker with a full
face
display or anything, did they? The biggest one they ever did was on the Shine.
Yeah.
And the Shine had 12 LEDs around the face.
Yeah.
So it could operate like a clock. So there's no need for any of their devices to technically have a face display.
I mean, you could tell time within 5 minutes, basically, couldn't you?
Yeah, it was very simple. It was very simple. You know, one Tokyo Flash Tower, where it took you a day.
Oh.
But to put their fitness tracking in all, if it goes in all of Fossil's watch line, that'll be really interesting. Because then that really is a fashionable watch that's analog or digital display that does a lot of the fitness tracking that people want.
And I found, because I had a Misfit Shine, and I found, I've used lots of different ones over the years, and you find that different ones have different strengths. But I found that Misfit's sleep tracking just seemed to be
bang on,
insane, like accurate. But if it's all tied into your Fossil watch, and Fossil watches are big, aren't they?
Yeah, massive.
Yeah.
Because Tag Heuer also just did an Android Wear watch.
It's a nice cheap one.
Well, the Tag is $1,500 for a Tag. I was never a big fan of Tag Heuer, though.
No?
I think it's just their styling. I was never really a massive fan, but that's just personal preference. But there's that many watch brands that there's always a style that you will like over all the others that you don't. Incidentally, another bit of Tag news. They just dropped McLaren. And they've been working with McLaren, the F1 team, for 30 years.
Really?
Yeah, and they've left because McLaren are having a bit of a rough time at the minute.
Oh, fair weather friend.
Absolutely. Well, they've lost a lot of the sponsors. Well, do you know when you look at their sort of race kit now?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's just big blank spaces. And you know what those race suits are like? It's just brands.
Yeah,
COVID.
Surprised they can bend the limbs from patches.
Puts the scouts to shame.
Need a woggle.
Yeah, so they've lost a lot of the sponsors, which is a real shame. Hopefully they'll bounce back. So fitness trackers for Christmas.
Yeah.
Let's start with what's the best low cost, assuming you're not importing the Zaimi fitness tracker. I think the best low cost has got to be the Misfit Link.
Yeah.
I think you can pick it up for £20 to £25 and it does steps and sleep. And what's really interesting about it, it has one physical button that you can bind to do anything.
Yeah.
One of the things you can do is control PowerPoint slides. You can make it play music on your phone. For £20, I think it's worth just having a button on your wrist.
Yeah.
That does one function.
It's pretty cool.
So the to me, the steps and the sleep is just absolute
bonus. Yeah.
And I think once we move up the price ladder, I think it's still Misfit.
Yeah.
In the £40 to £60 bracket.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Around that, you've got the, some of the Garmin stuff as well.
Oh, the, well, the Garmin and the Misfit, one of the bonuses about those two is the battery life on those devices.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
Yeah, it's a year.
Oh, it's not a year on the Misfit.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Oh, the Garmin was a year.
Well, you know, they say a year, but I think the reason I perhaps burn through it so quick is maybe they think the average steps a day is like 10,000.
Yeah.
Whatever, but I was using the Misfit a lot while I was in America, and I think I was doing 50 to 60,000 steps a day.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I burnt through the batteries pretty quick.
I had a Garmin Vivo Fit, which was a very, very simple. The entire unit was just this small rectangular rectangular device. And then you just got literally just a rubber bracelet to put it in that you put on your wrist. And as a result, because the battery was screwed into the thing and then you encased it in rubber, it was waterproof. Obviously to a certain extent, but you could shower in it definitely, and it wouldn't be a problem. In fact, I'm pretty sure they advertised that you could swim in it as long as you weren't diving, and it had a display on it that told the time, but it wasn't backlit, and that's how it saved on battery power.
Yeah, you had to do the tell that, talking about the old reflecting thing.
Yeah,
I think it was last Christmas that we released Tamagotchi.
Oh right, yeah.
And Sharon used to love Tamagotchi when she was younger, so I bought a Tamagotchi.
Hmm.
Tamagotchis were never backlit.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
She got it out of the box and just went, what? It's not backlit. I was just like, no. It's... And yeah, yeah, she angled it in the lights through there and she went, nah, not with that. Because we're all so accustomed now to the backlit technology to see something not backlit.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to digital watches that I had when I was a kid, and they had a light button on it.
Yeah, which, like the old Casios and stuff.
Yeah, but it was a side light, so it didn't fully illuminate the screen.
Oh, it did. Oh, I used to wear one of those, you know, in bed at night as a kid.
Yeah.
And ping!
When it's really dark.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, if it was kind of, you know, a little bit dim or dusky or whatever, you tried to light that screen and you got like 2/3 of the screen lit up.
Oh, that's when watches were watches. Someone needs to release like one of those old school Casios as a fitness tracker.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Oh,
that'd work. That'd be on Kickstarter. There's no tomorrow that.
You know, you want the TV blaster watch. Yeah, the one that you could control TVs from.
Oh, do you remember the story a few years ago? It's how all the reporters, bloggers got banned from, was it E3?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they went in and kept triggering all the TVs off.
Yeah, because it would scan, wouldn't it? Scan
it
all
would
the frequencies
scan and just do them
and
all.
Find it, then go,
you could do it in Comet, couldn't you? You could walk into Comet.
Yeah.
Just go ping and turn everything off.
I always really wanted one of those specifically for that purpose.
Oh, you little buffy. You know what? I bet you, I don't know if I'm imagining this, like this was in a film, but I'm pretty sure you could get a TV watch.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure you could. Yeah.
And just think how bulky that must have been.
Oh, it'd have been huge.
That would have honestly put any modern day smartwatch to shame. That thing must have been massive.
The absolute worst and at the same time absolute best watch I ever owned was a Transformer watch.
Was it Optimus?
No, well, it wasn't officially Transformer branded. But basically it was a watch, and then you could pop the watch face off and the watch face turned into a robot with the display in the middle.
That was cool.
It was, right up until the point that I lost it on a beach on holiday.
Oh. Devastating.
Yeah.
I think if I try and find that on eBay now, that'll be way the fuck. But fitness trackers.
Yeah.
So the Misfit Shine, it's worth noting about the Misfit Shine as well. You don't have to wear it in a wristband.
Yeah, you can wear it pendant style, can't you?
You can wear it pendant style. There's a massive range of bands. You can get rubber, you can get metal. I think you might be able to get leather. It comes in lots of different colours.
Yeah.
I think you can even just pop it in your pocket.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily you need to wear.
You could. Yeah, I can't see why you wouldn't be able to.
You could just keep it in your purse.
Yeah.
Assuming you keep your purse with
you. Yeah, I keep mine in my bra.
I own a man purse.
And do you?
Yeah.
I've got a minimalist wallet.
I get picked on quite a lot by my little man purse.
No, I have a minimalist wallet, so there's no way I'm keeping mine in a wallet.
And I do want a minimalist wallet, actually. I'm trying to find... I saw a real nice one on Kickstarter.
That's where mine was from.
Did it come on time, Neil?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
But that was... Unfortunately, because he had a family tragedy, didn't he?
Yeah.
And there was not much he could do, so...
That's the story he gave,
isn't it? Yeah. Well, do not believe him. Right, so low price, we say Misfit. Medium price, we say... Misfit Link.
Yeah.
Medium price, we say Misfit Shine.
Yeah.
Once we start to go above that, I think we're getting into Fitbit territory.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Fitbit, for me... has the most complete ecosystem.
Yeah, when I was using Fitbit, just the way everything tied in together just worked so well. I mean, well, the original Fitbit I had, you had to have a little dock.
I did, it clipped on.
Yeah.
You had to keep the dock in your house, didn't you?
You had to keep the dock, USB syncing station, basically. And then, was it the fuel band that came out? It was like we linked to your phone, and then Fitbit were like, and came out and did the similar sort of thing.
Did the fuel band, the original fuel band, connect to your phone?
I think, yeah. It did, yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, the fuel band always connected to your phone. I can't remember if that's the one that was one of the first major ones to do it, but yeah, and my original Fitbit died in the washing machine.
I can remember me and you were so desperate for them. Didn't we end up importing them from America?
Yeah, we did.
Because a lot of bloggers and stuff that we knew were all using them. We were like, oh, we really want it. And they never answered when there was going to be a UK release. So I think we ended up importing them from America.
Yeah, it was that little belt clip device, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the new ones that are wrist mounted are great.
They really are.
My personal favourite is the Charge HR.
I couldn't wear it. I found it painful to wear.
That's because you're a big guy.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I did get the large wristband, and I was literally on like the last holes on the wristband, and the heart rate sensor on the back of the face it dug into the back of my wrist, was really uncomfortable.
When you compare the heart rate sensor in terms of how much it protrudes versus the Apple Watch, the Fitbit Charge HR seems dated because of that. I really think it's worth a hardware update and really streamlining that. That is a downside of the Charge HR, I must admit. But
the lower cost Fitbit items are really good anyway. Just like you say, the entire ecosystem.
Well, what I really like is I've also got this scales.
Oh, yeah.
The Fitbit Aria. The Aria. Down there. So I open my Fitbit app and I've got my steps, my heart rate, how much I've slept, my body weight, my body fat. If I tied it with my fitness pal, I can do my calorie intake.
Yeah.
So it's like one little app which gives me
everything.
A huge amount of health stats.
Yeah.
It definitely is the most complete ecosystem.
Yeah.
And Fitbit have definitely worked on that quite a lot, and an incredibly accessible app. Super accessible. Because the first Charge HIR, which I lost to that concrete post, there was a few issues in how you navigate the information. I wrote like a real long piece about how they could improve it.
Yeah.
And then recently they changed the way they display the information. I was like, oh, it works now. So I could extract a lot of the information which previously I wasn't able to access. So for accessibility, the Fitbit line is fantastic, because the weighing scales, because I can't see the display on a pair of weighing scales, I stand on that and it just sends it to my account. It's on my phone.
Yeah, it's perfect.
They are expensive though for a pair
of
body weight scales.
Do they make fuel band anymore? They don't, do they?
No, Nike left the hardware game was a girl.
I really liked the Fuel Band. It was, it looked nice. It worked, seemed to work really well. The only problem I had with them is they just kept dying on me.
Well, you know, it's a real shock, actually, because I almost think they've lost the way a bit.
Yeah.
Because at one point, they were the biggest running app.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are.
No.
I think they've been overtaken by all the competition, and to have left the hardware game when they did seems strange, or maybe they knew there was an Apple Watch on the horizon and just thought, no. Because that's where their designers went to.
Yeah.
There's the Fuel Band people that went over to Apple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a shame. It was a good device. Like, so we've got Misfit Link, Misfit Shine. We're into Fitbit territory because of the charge HR. I think it's around £120.
It is around.
We probably should have said that that also does steps, sleep, heart rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, the Eco's is quite good for challenging your friends and stuff on.
Yeah.
On Fitbit.
Yeah, you can issue challenges and stuff, can't you?
I think once we're getting above that price point, we're getting into the real expensive territory.
I know where you're going here. The Microsoft Band.
Now, I was going to say that we're just moving into more expensive things where we're getting GPS.
Yeah.
So we're moving beyond just steps.
Yeah.
And getting more accurate sort of information to the distance travelled. Although, as I learnt this week, apparently GPS always overestimates distance travelled by up to 20%.
That's quite a lot.
It is quite a lot. Yeah, because the app that I'm working on, we had this discussion about how far out it was going to be.
Yeah.
And every measurement you take on GPS can be out by X amount. So the original idea was to pull our GPS location a lot and constantly track.
Yeah.
But then we figured out, but then we'll introduce so much ever that that's actually a bad thing.
Crazy.
So we're now going to do less to get a more accurate line, which seems very counterintuitive, because you'd imagine the more data points you have, the better the line it's going to be, but...
Weird.
No. Very strange.
Mm.
But yeah, so within the increased price range, we're definitely entering into sort of the Garmin territory.
Yeah.
Where it's specialist devices. So things like running.
Yeah.
Swimming.
And those devices have been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember having the Forerunner 205. Oh my God. So long ago, and that was just such a large device on your wrist. I can't even think of something that's that size to describe how big it was. It was like half a Mars bar.
Yeah.
If not 3/4 of a Mars bar.
So have those things gone on to like incorporate some of the more modern things like, you know, calorie burn and things like that within their apps, or is it not something they take into consideration?
They're a lot more refined now, but Garmin's all about the accuracy, cadence, you know, altitude, because these like barometers and things like that to get accurate altitude. So they're about real accuracy.
Yeah.
And they lean more towards that, whereas devices like the Microsoft Band, are we into the Band 2 now?
Yes. Yeah, the 2's out now.
The Microsoft Band 2, more about that whole fitness.
Yeah.
And perhaps move more towards the fashionable end. Well, arguable. The fashionable end, like the Apple Watch. So I think once you get into the high end, it's either you're buying it for a very specific use case.
Yeah.
In which case, it's just a minefield. There's lots and lots of different options.
Do your research.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It really is. Or... if you just want a really fancy health tracker, Apple Watch. But of course, out of everything we've named so far, the Apple Watch is the only one that's iOS only.
Yeah.
All the other ones. Cross-platform.
Cross-platform. Including the Microsoft Band.
Really?
Yeah, but it's not just Windows Phone.
Oh, well, I imagine it won't be just Windows Phone. Otherwise, there'll be four people with it. Although, as we're saying this, I just realised I actually own all of the devices that we've recommended apart from the Link.
Oh, right.
I have all those devices.
Mm.
Do a lot of tracking.
Yeah.
Although I keep on forgetting to put them on.
Yeah, naked wrists.
Well, that's the downside of the Apple Watch.
It's charging all the time.
Yeah, Apple did release their own charging stand yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. It was, yeah.
Expensive, yeah.
I didn't actually see the price. I was just like, that's...
Well, it's $79, so I imagine it's £79.
Yeah. It really... I mean, I know it's a very, very simple thing that it's there to do, but it didn't look anything special.
Elegant, simple design, though, isn't it? That's what yeah. it's about.
But I didn't think it was elegant, to be honest. And I think because of the size of it, it being white, which, you know, obviously a lot of Apple peripherals and stuff like headphones and things are white, but because it's a bit chunkier than those things, it looking white looked a bit out of place.
I imagine that was to make the watches pop.
Yeah.
Because there's not many that have got a white band.
No.
So your watch is going to pop. And you need to appreciate that some of the watches that are getting put on that are going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
Because I imagine the black steel would look quite good on that stand.
I don't know. It wasn't a good looking stand.
You don't like it, do you not?
No.
It's not for you.
It was just a disc. But like a curved, like with curved edges, but it didn't look anything special.
Even from when I was collecting watches years and years ago,
yeah.
the nightstands back then are just dog ugly.
Yeah.
I actually wanted this really beautiful stand. And it fit in the stand, and then you put this glass, fit into like a glass dome.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. But it was £700.
That's a lot of money.
For a stand.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's nice.
But how do you justify that?
I can't justify spending that kind of money on it.
That's half a watch.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, you need to appreciate that perhaps some of the people are putting a watch on that stand.
Yeah.
It was like a 15, 20, 50 grand watch.
Yeah.
So spending that much on a stand to them was...
Nothing.
It was nothing. To me, it was a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's our Christmas recommendations for fitness trackers. If I was going to pick one out of all those, I'd get the Misfit Link.
Yeah.
It does steps, it does sleep, it's got a button you can press, which incidentally none of the others have.
No.
And it's the cheapest.
Yeah. Out of the lot of them, if we're going for the cheapest one, I've not tried the Link, but it does sound pretty cool, but I liked the Misfit Shine, but I preferred the Garmin Vivo Fit. And there's quite a few in that range around that price point.
Yeah.
It was... You know, mine was a purple band. It looked a bit like a weird digital watch, but it did everything you needed it to do.
So I can't believe I've just recommended the cheapest when it was up against the Apple Watch.
Well, like you say, it has the limitation of being Apple only, and it's...
You've got to charge it.
Yeah, you've got to charge it every day, and it's pretty blinking expensive.
Yeah, I can't even... I think the price of mine keeps creeping up because I'm buying accessories for it. So, because I got the custom leather band, so that bumped the price of it up straight away.
Yeah.
These things get expensive. Next week, I think we should do recommendations on just really cool sub £50 tech gadgets.
Yeah.
Or tech Christmas presents. So that's going to be next week's Christmas present list, because we're only going to be able to do it for a few more weeks until it's going to be too late. Although, top tip, Amazon Prime is currently £59.
Is that still on?
I think so.
Yeah.
Although you said it was 2-day delivery, didn't you?
Yeah, that's in the article I read. It said for free 2-day delivery. I was like, word?
Yeah, so I'm paying £79 for the 1-day delivery, it appears.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's it's worth getting the Amazon Prime trial.
Yeah.
Over the Christmas period.
Definitely, yeah.
And then just cancel it.
I wasted mine several years ago.
Just quit getting your account.
Yeah.
Different address.
Ugh, no, I can't bother with that. Everything's tied in.
True. So that's it for this week then, Neil, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. Again, if you want to find us, we're all over the place.
We should pre-record this bit and play it out.
Then it's got no soul. Yeah.
Me interrupting you.
Or you interrupting me. So we're on Twitter, which is Enthusiast Tech. There's the site itself, techenthusiast.com. You can find us on Facebook if you search for Tech Enthusiast. You can find us on YouTube if you search for Tech Enthusiast. Blah, 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 blah. Is there any more? I don't know. I can't think.
I think that's enough. We've got a website.
It's enough to be going on.
Techenthusiast.com.
Yeah. So if you want to get in touch with us, comment on any of the things we've said today or in previous podcasts. We need some podcasts,
Christmas present recommendations.
If you need some recommendations, we will do what we can to help you guys, because that's the kind of guys we are. But thanks for listening, and that's been another Tech Enthusiast. I've been Neil.
And I've been Simon.
See you later.